We're so glad that you're taking time to listen to this week's message from Bethel Worship Center. We pray that it blesses you wherever you are in your faith journey. We do want to let you know that we are open. Our campus is open. We invite you to go to bwccamden.com. You can find out everything that we're offering right now at this time and in this season. So make sure to go there and find the ways that you can stay up to date with everything happening at Bethel Worship Center. But again, wherever you are in your faith journey, whether you are exploring more about faith, learning who Jesus is, learning about God, you're new in your walk with Jesus Christ, or you've been a longtime follower of Jesus, we pray that today's message blesses you, it encourages you, it equips you. So God bless you. Thank you again for taking part.
Last week I referenced this before we went into worship, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. If you're a believer, most of you probably heard this verse many times, and I challenged this last week, and so I thought this would be a good launching point for us today, where Paul told the church at Philippi, he said, I press forward towards the goal to win the prize. Anybody ever here won the prize? All right. Anybody ever lost the prize? You know what that feels like, right? I'll be honest with you. I've had a problem with liking to win before in my life. And so thankfully the Lord's worked on me in regards to that. He says, I'm pressing on towards the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So we, as individual believers and as a church body, we are pressing forward. We are pressing on no matter what we face, no matter what we're going through. We don't give up. We don't give out. We don't give in because we have this goal. And it's amazing how a goal can help to keep us focused. I'm hoping to plant the seed of a goal in each and every one of us. And Paul said that in this particular verse, he said the prize is heaven. God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Heaven is the prize. Jesus is the ultimate prize. And while we are serving and working and living this life, we every day, a part of our desire in our prize is to become like Jesus, to become a reflection of Him, to try to live like Him each and every day, growing and maturing in Him. And so, you know, this is why we want to stay connected, as we've been talking about for the last 5 weeks. We want to stay connected to God. We want to stay connected to His church. We don't want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We want to stay focused on serving and giving and worship and all these different things. Not just when we're here, but every day of our life. This connection point helps us to grow and to mature and to keep, this will kind of be our theme for this time together. We want to keep our eyes on the prize. Our eyes on the prize, which is Jesus. And we want to live out that command that we read from the Lord 5 weeks ago. And it was a command. It was said, remain in the vine, right? Jesus the vine, God's the gardener. We want to remain in the vine. If we remain in the vine, our lives will be fruitful. If we don't remain in the vine, then we will be like a stick. Easily crushed, easily thrown away. And we don't want to do that. We want to remain in the vine. We want to remain in Jesus Christ, and we want our lives to bear fruit. And when we talk about bearing fruit in the Scripture, we are talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Most of us have probably heard of this before, but it's found in Galatians chapter 5. In verse 22, and it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. This morning, I actually went right by that, and I didn't know if that was something wrong with me at that moment in time. But no, patience. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here's the thing about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is not, you know, we see those words up there and we think this is just sweet love, joy, peace. No. This is empowered love. Okay, this is empowered joy. This is a peace that passes all understanding. No, there's no natural peace that can give us what God gives us. And faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all of those kind of things. And as you continue to read in Galatians 5, you see this is some of my favorite directions from the Scripture, is that we live by the Spirit. You know, when I grew up, I had a wrong mindset that you came to church to experience the Holy Spirit. In fact, He is... He is moving in our lives each and every moment, each and every day that we live. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And He says, so since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. When He's moving, we're moving, right? You can use that step any way you want. You could use it as a military step. You know, we're in the Lord's army. Or you could make it a dance step. I don't know. I'm not going to give you a demonstration right now. Somewhat am with nervous energy, but you understand what I'm saying. Whatever it may be, we want to stay in step with His Holy Spirit. And we want to avoid the things that bring disconnection in our lives. We don't want that to be a part of our life, and it can happen so easily. The church at Colossae, they were told that you have lost connection with the head, which is Jesus, and we don't want to live disconnected. When I first started this series 5 weeks ago, I showed a picture of what life was like with us growing up when moments of disconnection would come, especially with our TV. If you ever put aluminum foil on your television to help get a good reception, you know what I'm talking about. If you as a child were the one who had to stand there while your parents said, move it a little to the left, how about you just stay right there through the whole show, son, okay, so I can see the news. And so you understand it. Now, in this generation, we still have places of disconnection that are frustrating. Anybody that's had any kind of streaming thing whatsoever, you know what it is for that thing, that little circle to just spin and spin and spin, and you wonder if it's going to stop spinning. Okay, and so, we get frustrated when we see that kind of disconnection. Well, in our spiritual lives, we definitely don't want to live in a place of disconnection, because that will be a life of frustration, a life of struggle and difficulty. And I also challenged us, and I just remind us of this, that let's don't be chasing vines, false vines. If there is a true vine, then there's a false vines as well. And there are false vines out there like money, power, status, all these different things. They promise what only God can give. And you'll never find peace and hope and joy in those things. So we want to avoid the false vines that are out there in life. And we want to be connected. We want the kind of connection that comes that in our relationship with Jesus, where we understand what Jesus was talking about when He promises us in John 10:10 that we can have life and life more abundant. That verse also tells us, though, that there is a thief who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, but God has come. Jesus has come so that we can have life and life more abundant. That is the vibrant life. And I also want to remind everybody of this, that the connection point that we have today was made possible because of God's love demonstrated through Jesus Christ. Jesus, God sending Jesus, He became the connection for us at the cross. He demonstrated His love for us at the cross. He demonstrated His power for us in His resurrection. And you and I can now live transformed lives and celebrate what God is doing in our lives because of what we talked about last week, the amazing, unbelievable, undescribable, as best as we can, try to, love that God has for us. Amen. In this verse, in the verse we read at the beginning there, it's going to kind of guide us for our time together here in this place of connection, what it means to press on towards the prize. And the prize for us in life is Jesus, right? It's heaven. He has called me heavenward. So our prize is Jesus' life. So we must keep our eyes on the prize always. Jesus, I've used this phrase a couple months ago, is we need to have a fixed first focus on Jesus as we live our daily life. Not just when we're here on Sunday mornings or our youth group or whatever it may be. It needs to be a part of every day of our lives. And Jesus and the writer of Hebrews talks about this in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. And it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on whom? Jesus. All right, I'm by myself today. Okay. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross. I remind us all that the joy that He endured was because of His love for you and I. He went to the cross for us. He said He endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Okay, and so we want to continue pressing on. We want to keep our eyes on the prize. Now, I've got two videos here that I found in regards, and I had actually seen both of these, and thankfully I was able to get Pastor David to put them up on the screen. These are some folks who took their eyes off the prize right as they got to the finish line. Some of you may have seen this. This is at the Braves game. Anybody ever seen the Freeze? They call me the Breeze, right? Here's this young man, and he thinks that he is about to win the prize. He's going to be victorious. And he's, all of a sudden, he's looking at the crowd, and he has no idea. He's starting to slow up a little bit. He's got, oh, let's celebrate a little bit. And then all of a sudden, boom. I don't know why it's hilarious to see somebody fall like that, but I could watch it 100 times. I'd laugh all 100 times. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have got distracted there, okay? I took my eye off the prize. This guy from Oregon is about to be a national champion. Everything he has worked his young life for. And then all of a sudden he starts celebrating a little bit too early, and he gets passed. Because why? He didn't keep his focus. He let both of them left their focus for just a little moment and a little time. They took their eyes off the prize, and they were not able to finish. They were not able to complete that race like they wanted them to. And so it's a picture of what we can become if we take our eyes off of Jesus. If we don't seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and we can find ourselves in places of apathy and complacency where we're not really running any. More. We're just kind of standing still. That's not the life that Jesus came to give us. He came to give us that life that is life and life more abundant. We take our eyes off of who we are following. We take our eyes off of who we are called to be. We take our eyes off of what we are called to do. And we can take our eyes off of the one who first loved us. And that's not how we want to run the race in life that God has for us. And so Paul gives us some guidance and discipline in this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. And this passage of scripture says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win, exclamation point. What does that mean? Run with all you got. Run to win. Verse 24, we'll go back to that one. Is this the next? Okay, I'm sorry. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But look at it. We do it for an eternal prize. Jesus, with Jesus forever and ever. So I run with purpose in every step. Man, as I read that, that checks and challenges me. I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. You know, you've seen, you know what it is to see somebody shadow boxing, right? They can look really good, but at some point in time, you got to get in the ring. All right. And so, you know, he says, I'm not doing that. I'm not just running it. He said, I discipline my body like an athlete. I'm training it to do what I should. And here he is. He's talking about his physical body, but he's talking about his who he is in Christ as spiritual self as well. He said, otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So Paul's reminding himself that one translation uses the words aimlessly. I don't live this life aimlessly. I think sadly too often we do that. We allow ourselves to live life aimlessly when we realize that we have been called for a purpose. We're called to live our lives with integrity, with righteousness. Jesus has imputed his righteousness upon us, but we want to live that out so that others can see Jesus living within us as well. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, gives us some instructions. It says, similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except they by competing according to the rules, unless you're Tom Brady. Okay, I'm sorry. That was a bitter moment. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. That was not a pass interference. Okay. Anyway. So if we want to live in the vine, then we have to live toward the directives. Where do we get our directives in life? We get our directives from the Word of God and from the guiding and directing of the Holy Spirit, which will always line up with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God in our lives. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:2 that we are not to conform to the pattern of this world. The culture has a way of living life. We're not called to conform to that, but rather, what's the word that we use? We use it here all the time. This is our thing. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. How is our mind renewed? Through the Word of God. Okay? This is kind of where my message took a little side turn as I was preparing for this. With that little thought of living by the directives of the world or living by directives of the Word of God. And so today I wanted to talk just a little bit about this treasure that you and I have in our hands, that we often take for granted in our lives. And that this word is a connection point for us to stay in connection in what God wants us to do in our lives. We live our lives by what we call the Bible, what we call God's Word, whatever you say there. But why does the Bible exist? If you were able to give an easy answer, I remember I may have told this story before. I had an older cousin who was dating a young boy, and like young boys can be, he was somewhat obnoxious and he knew it all. I remember him being over our house and he was criticizing the Christianity that was being shared there in the house. And he said, the Bible's just the 12 disciples each giving their own opinion about Jesus. And sadly, as a young man, I didn't know enough to correct him. All right. I wish I had known enough so I could have said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. To him. That is not the case. So I want to make sure that everybody in here, if somebody asks you about the Word of God, here's the ultimate thing. The Word of God is the revelation of the resurrected Jesus Christ. To put it very simply, these scriptures come together to tell us that we have been created lovingly in the image of God. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but God in His great love sent Jesus so that we didn't have to live in sin. We didn't have to live in despair, but we could live in life and life more abundant, and not just a life here, but eternal life with Him forever and ever. This is a miracle today, okay? Well, I want you to understand the miracle of what you have. And y'all, if y'all been here the last 28 years, you've heard me say this over and over, but I'm going to say it again because I want it to be rote memory in our lives. This Bible is 66 books, 39 in the Old Covenant, 27 in the New Covenant. It was written over 1,600 years on 3 different continents and by 40 different authors, yet it has one overarching theme, that is the love of God to save His people from their sins through the sacrifice and the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, and the promise of the ultimate prize that one day we will be with Him in heaven forever, and there won't be any pandemics, there won't be any hospitals, there won't be any sickness, there won't be any sorrow, there won't be any death, there won't be any pain. It'll just be us and Jesus with Him forever and ever. Amen. All right. So that's exciting. This is what we have in here. And the Bible is under attack today, as it always has been. I found one study that said that there were 52 countries where it has been banned. And some of you have probably seen this video of folks in China getting Bibles brought to them. But just in case somebody had not seen this before, I thought we could throw it up here real quick. You can see suitcases there. Amen. The treasure that we have. I read a story about a woman in South Korea who had been Open Doors USA. She was able to be freed there. And if you didn't know, North Korea, once again, was the biggest persecutor of believers in Christ. And she testified that she actually had an old Korean language Bible that she had kept hidden, just like we have English now that does not sound like the King's English, right? So this was an old English Bible. And she said that thankfully she was able to get to freedom. But she said every day she would go out there and she would dig up where she had buried that Bible. And she would open it up for just a few moments before the sun would come up so that she could read, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." Wow. And then she'd go and bury it in the ground again. What an incredible treasure that we have. And so we want to, and here's the thing, the Word of God has been under attack. Scriptures have been attacked since the very beginning of the church. The Roman Emperor Diocletian, he was terrible to believers. He was a very evil man, and he had an edict, a law that he put out that's against Christians, and it was to eliminate them and also to eliminate their scriptures. I thank God for every believer who continued to write and continue to make sure that we have these scriptures that we have today. We are very blessed because of it, and as I thought about this, it gave me a little side note for myself. I thought about how much different for most of us in here our experience is than throughout Christianity. You look at the early church. At some point in time, pretty much all of them had to make a decision. Yes, I will deny Christ, or I will say I follow Christ and deal with the consequences. We see it throughout church history where it takes place, where we have to make that decision. I'm willing to be imprisoned for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that, for most of us in here, that's probably going to be very foreign to us. I've heard pastors tell me that it was very convicting when they would meet pastors from China. And one of the questions they would ask them was, how many times have you been arrested for your faith? Most of us have not had to make that, we've been made fun of, we've been picked on, mocked, and that kind of stuff. But that's a picture of what has been taking place all throughout church history. And guess what? It's still taking place today. Still placing tape today all over the globe, but yet the gospel continues to go into hearts and lives of men and women and change and transform them. It's, China is one of the largest Christian countries in the world. It's crazy to think that Iran is the fastest growing church in the world. They don't have any government assistance or help in any way, shape, or form, yet the gospel continues to grow just like it did in the first century. I want you to know that the Word of God will find a place into the hearts and lives of men and women, and we need to be a part of sharing that, and we need to be a part of praying for them throughout the globe as well. So we have this glorious treasure today. And even in the and I always try to make this distinction, because during the state church time, the state church would actually persecute the church. Okay, there was a Church of England, Church of France, Church of Rome, all these different things. We actually broke away from that, from 1800 years of tradition. There is no Church of America. And when Stacy Hilliard was here, he was speaking. He wanted to go see the Revolutionary War Park. And I had been there to do weddings and things like that, but I never really paid much attention to it. It was absolutely sad to me to see the different, there were stocks there that people would be put in, their heads and their arms. You know what I'm talking about? And one of the things one of the crimes could be against the state would be Sabbath skipping. That was never the way the kingdom of God was ever to operate. You come and be a part of the church because you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ. No one was ever forced to go, but we are blessed to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why people like William Tyndale and John Wycliffe, who wanted to get the Word of God to the boy on the plow, they said. They wanted to get the Word of God in the hand of people. They would be killed by the state church. So we see all this persecution in regards to the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God liberates us and sets us free. All right? We don't have to fear the king. We don't have to fear anybody or anything, because we know if God is for us, then who can be against us? That is revealed to us in the Word of God. So I want to share with you some scriptures here today to hopefully try to encourage you a little bit. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. I thought somebody was going to say Twitter. Okay. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 1 Peter 3:2-3 says, like newborn babes, crave spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And if you don't know that Petra song, I encourage you to go home and listen to it. It's an awesome one. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's got milk and honey for you. Come and dine at the master's table. Okay, all right, I'll stop. And then Matthew 4:4 says, people do not live by bread alone, by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And then James 1:22 gives us a little conviction here. It says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. I can listen to the word and deceive myself. How does that happen? If I don't do what it says. Now, here's the thing. I may have had my own thoughts about the way things are. Maybe grandma told me something about the way things are. But if I read God's word and I'm wrong, then I'm going to choose to follow what his word says, not what I think. All right? And even grandma, if she's wrong, that'll make somebody upset. Even if she's wrong, I don't want to live. If she got it wrong, I want to live by what is revealed to us in the scripture today. All right. And then he says, it's one thing to hear the word, but we want to live his word. 2 Corinthians 3:16-17. This should be in our minds and in our hearts. All scripture is God breathed. All right, it comes from the breath of God, and it is useful for teaching. We need to be taught in the right way to live and act and think. It is there for rebuking. It is there for correcting and training us in righteousness. That's that same athlete language there, training in righteousness. Here's the thing about righteousness. You are not going to be perfect the first moment you get saved, but guess what? God is a lot more patient with you than you think. Okay, he wants us to get to the place where we need to be. So I want you to know today that God is not he is in this for you to have your eyes on the prize. He's in with you in this race that you are on to becoming like Jesus Christ. And as the longer I have served Jesus, one thing that I am most amazed about is, I know his love, I know his grace, but I am so thankful for his patience with me. So thankful for his patience with me. And it just reminds me that his love is a love that does not let go, a love that does not give up, but a love that keeps us going forward so that we can become a reflection of him. And then lastly, Hebrews 4:12, it says that the word of God is alive and active. When you read it, there is life in it. By the Holy Spirit, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates, dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the hearts and the attitudes of the judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So the connection to the Word helps us to keep our eyes on the prize. It reminds us of the race that we are running, and that we need to run it correctly, that we need to run it with passion, we need to run it with hope, we need to run it with joy, and we need to keep our first fixed focus on Jesus, who is the prize. Some thoughts that came to my mind just to challenge us with today. If you're listening online, maybe you're hearing this days later, you can answer these questions yourself. Are we pressing on? Are we daily seeking God's Word and His Holy Spirit to guide our lives? Are our eyes on the prize? Are we just focused on this moment and this day? Are we living in distraction? Are we living in apathy? Are we focused on the finish line like Jesus? Are we living as one? Are we living in division? Are we in Christ? Is our eyes on the prize? Just hang with me for just a moment here. I want to do something that's just a little different. I've tried to encourage you today from God's Word of, once again, the treasure that we have that reveals to us the resurrected Jesus Christ. And to encourage us to it's very easy for us to get distracted. It's very easy for us to get disjointed. It's very easy for us to get consumed with the things in this world. We're gathered here this Sunday morning to remind us that there is a great prize in the love of Jesus. And we want to keep our eyes on the prize. And as I was going through Scripture, all of a sudden, it was actually 1 John 17. I'm going to go to that in a moment. Because in John 17, this is Jesus' prayer before he goes to the cross. And it's kind of his eyes on the prize speech. But then I was stirred to go to Romans 8. And in this passage of Scripture, there the Apostle Paul says some things to us. And I hope it's okay to read a lot of Scripture in church. Okay? To help us to keep our eyes on the prize. And as I began to read Romans 8, I thought, man, this is Paul reminding the church, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the prize. And here's some things I pray that will encourage you today. Paul begins Romans 8 saying, there is therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We could sit and meditate on that just today. Others may condemn me. I condemn myself. That's not what the Word says, though. If I am in Christ Jesus, there is now no more condemnation because of His love for us. He says that we live not according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man and woman is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. And those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. But you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature. Thank you, God. But by the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, and if the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation to not live towards the sinful nature. The prize in everything Paul's saying here? He's giving us focus on how to focus on the prize. He said, you're not controlled by the Holy Spirit. He said, we have an obligation, but not to the sinful nature and to live according to it. For we are now the sons and the daughters of God, and we have received a spirit that we have not received a spirit that makes us a slave again to fear, but we have received the spirit of sonship and daughtership. I don't have to live in fear anymore. Why? Because I have been adopted into His family. I have Him as my refuge and my shelter and my fortress. He says that, and by Him we are able to cry, Abba, Father. That keeps my eyes on the prize. If you didn't know, some of you may think Abba is just a 1970s band from Sweden, but the word Abba means daddy. Okay? This is an intimate place of relationship that we have with our Father in heaven. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And then this, He gives us a great eyes on the prize thought here. In verse 18, He said, I consider that our present sufferings, and we've got a lot of suffering that's going around. Prayer requests, things like that, coming in daily. Because of struggles people are having. Paul says, as we make our focus the prize, he said, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. They are going to be, the Bible says, light and momentary troubles when we see the prize. He says that we groan inwardly as we wait for redemption. Wait for our adoption to sons and daughters. And we wait for it patiently. That is patient with hope, not like we normally wait. He says, in the same way, helps us, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans and words that with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our heart knows our mind, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And then He says, and we know in all things that God works for the good of those who love Him, those who have been called according to His purpose. If God is for us, who can be against us? It is God who justifies our life. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and He is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation that you can think of today at this moment in time is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. When I read Romans 8, it encourages me to press on towards the prize. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then in John 17. In John 17, Jesus prays for Himself. Jesus prays for His disciples. And Jesus prays for us. Visualize it right now. I meant to tell you to do this as a moment ago as we were reading Romans. Visualize yourself reading that letter to Romans in maybe a darkened room somewhere in hiding. Jesus has had the Last Supper. He's told them about the promise of heaven, the promise of the Holy Spirit coming in John 16. And now He's done the imagery of the garden there. Remain in Me and I will remain in you. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. And then He gets to John 17 and He goes and He begins praying. And He prays for Himself first. And He says, Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, and Your Son may glorify You. May God help us to glorify the Son today. He said, now this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. And then He begins to pray for His disciples. And He says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still here, Father. And I am coming to You, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of Your name. May God protect us today by the power of His name. The name You have given Me, so that they may be one as We are one together. Isn't that interesting? Jesus prayed for His disciples. He didn't pray, I need You to give them a lot of stuff so that people can know they're blessed. He said, I pray for them to be one with one another. And I ask that You would protect them. We still want God to protect us today. And we still want to be one in Jesus Christ. And then He continues on and He says, so that they may be full, they may have the full measure of My joy within them. He says, I have given them Your word. And My prayer is not that You take them out of the world, but that You protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by Your truth. And then He says, Your word is truth. How are we sanctified? Are we become more like Christ? It is through His word. Eyes on the prize. And then Jesus prays for us. He says, our prayer is not for them alone. I'll pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message, that all of them may be one. Once again, that's God's desire for us as a church body throughout the globe, is that we would be one in Him. He said, I in them and You in Me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that You sent Me and have loved Me even as You have loved Me. Isn't that something? Jesus' prayer for us as a church today is that the world would know Him because of how we operate in unity with one another. our love for one another, our blessing one another, all those one another's in the scriptures will shine the light of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Jesus living in us. The one who is our prize is the one who helps us to keep our eyes on the prize. And in the scripture I have here, the very next thing that we see after Jesus praying this in the garden, praying for himself, praying for his disciples, praying for us, the very next thing says that Jesus is arrested. After that prayer, he went to the cross. After that prayer, he gave his life for us because of his great love for us today. If everybody would just bow your heads for just a second in this moment in time. For you that are watching online, I just want to ask this question today. All those different questions I actually asked earlier. Have we allowed things to come and take our eyes off the prize? And if you happen to be in here today and you say, Pastor Casey, I want you to pray for me. I've allowed other things to take the focus of my life. I've allowed other things to take priority in my mind, in my heart, and in my spirit. And I want to today keep my eyes on the prize. If that's you, just slip your hand up real quick. Anybody in here? Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this time together. And I pray, God, today that as we read the scripture, that what we did here today would kind of be a pattern for us, as we would have as a foundation in our life, that we are in this race running, the race that God has given us, and that Jesus is the prize that we are running. And trying to be like him, trying to live like him, trying to love like him, trying to impact this world for him. And we pray, God, that you would help us in our lives when distractions come, and troubles come, and worries come, and difficulties come, that we would go to your precious word that you have given us, and it would remind us to keep our eyes on you, the author and the perfecter, the champion of our faith. And so I pray today for anyone, once again, those of you online, those of you in here, I pray that we would be encouraged today of the treasure that we have in your word, and that we would not take this for granted, but we would allow the word not just be in our hands, but to be in our hearts and be in our minds, so that we would not sin against you, and so that we can fulfill everything that you have promised for us in the word of God. Lord, I pray against any distractions that keep us from going forward. Keep us from being who you've called us to be. And may we be reminded with that fixed first focus to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author, the perfecter, our Savior, and our Lord. In your name we pray it today. Amen and amen.
If you need prayer in any way today, we would love for you to reach out to us. You can go to our website, bwccamden.com. Go to our contact page. You'll find a link there to request prayer or send us anything that you would like to communicate with us today. Or you can also simply text the word prayer to 803-676-7566. And we will be back in touch with you to find out how we can be in prayer for you. God bless you. We hope that you have a great week.